Welcome to the Serious TV Drama Podcast with Scott and Dan. I'm Scott, and with me as always, the stargazer to my hellblazer, it's Dan. How you doing this evening, Dan?
Well, I'm a little tired trying to figure out why you referred to me as Captain Picard's first command, but I'm hanging in there.
I adore the fact that somehow I unintentionally hit upon yet another later Trek reference, because my Trek references usually end as of like 1960, what, 7, 8, whenever the final season was of the original series. So, we have come together again tonight to get all geeky with it. So, if we're going to do that, let's bring out the rest of the All-Star Squad. Kids, let them know what your name is once again.
Hi, it's Vicky.
Hi, it's Cade.
Last but not least, it's Jason.
It's Jason with a flourish.
Gotta own it.
Yes, yes, you do. So, the last couple podcasts, we've been kind of splitting between Flash and Arrow, so we're going to try to get them both handled tonight, as well as maybe a few other things. There may even be a rant in our future, but something tells me the first couple shows we're going to be talking about, there might not be too much ranting. Am I correct in assuming that, or not?
Correct.
No. I hate
Arrow. As far as I go.
All right. Looks like we're gonna
I'm gonna ignore him because he's wrong. You know it.
Oh yeah. Well, there is. You know what? There will be something to rant about on that, but you know, we'll wait to get there. I just thought, oh yeah, there is something I hated, so we'll get there.
But I'm looking forward to it.
Let's start right off with the show that I'm gonna guess is gonna be borderline hate-free for us. I know it was that way for me. And of course, I'm talking about the latest episode of The Flash called The Darkness and the Light. And I'm going to start right off with the character and the point that's probably at the forefront of most of our minds with this episode. Wells 2.0, or Harry, if we want to call him that. Few things have made me happier this season than seeing the return of Tom Cavanaugh doing a slightly different version, which as he should be, of Wells. Nothing exemplified it better than the line of the night, and the line delivery of the night was by Sisko when he says, "You know, our Dr. Wells may have been evil, but you're just a dick." not to get too graphic, but stretching out the word dick was just perfect. Well done, Sisko. So, I feel like that's going to be one of our main things to discuss about the episode overall, so I figured let's start right off with that. I just really enjoyed it. I loved how there was just a slight difference. We're going to put aside that everyone keeps referring to the other Wells, you know, when in fact that wasn't ever Wells at all, but Eobard Thawne. But, you know, that just gets too confusing, so why even say that, I guess. But I really enjoyed this take on it. How did you guys feel about the true return of Cavanaugh for a full episode?
It was fantastic. I feel like episode could have been called There's Something About Harry. That could have been the title for it.
Or The Trouble with Harry, if you're a Hitchcock.
Yeah, The Trouble with Harry, too, yeah.
I enjoyed the fact that while we've talked about, like, is he going to be evil? He's not evil. Just whereas the other Wells was, like, seemingly a decent, real Earth One Wells was seemingly a decent guy, this one doesn't have any decency in him whatsoever, it seems. Just the way he tears down everybody he deals with, except maybe Barry. He doesn't even know what kid gloves are. He's never heard the term. Because it doesn't exist to him. Everything is blunt and to the point. And it was nice to see that they gave him a completely different way of doing things than the other Wells.
Go on, Vicky.
I was just saying, it seems like in either world, Wells is a jerk face of one kind or another.
what Kay just said, to play upon that a little further, what's interesting is that in some ways, he's kind of almost a reverse, so to speak, of the Wells that we had seen, you know, the person who comes off as mainly, you know, this friendly fatherly figure, although he had his detached moments, of course, but he certainly seemed likable. And then you find out that his true motivation and what's behind everything is decidedly evil. This character, he's kind of an abrasive asshole to everybody and, you know, therefore unlikable. And he makes it clear he doesn't like them either. But then the reveal at the end of it is, but he actually has a pure motivation for what he's doing. You know, he has a heroic motivation for what he's doing, quite frankly, because he's apparently trying to save his daughter. So I did like the interesting little reversal there. No pun intended for the reverse Flash. Or maybe it was. I don't know.
Yeah, that's certainly possible. I did notice that they share a couple of traits. One is that he loves big belly burgers as much as the reverse Flash. And also that, towards the end of the show, when Barry mentions reverse Flash, Wells takes his glasses off like he did last year. I just thought that was interesting.
Oh, nice catch. I didn't catch that.
Yeah, I think that was a playing with expectations type thing, though. I think they wanted to put it in your head, that little glasses thing. Is he possibly still who we think he is? So yeah. It gives that little bit of doubt in your head whether, I mean, is he that Wells or is he Thawne or is he that Earth's Thawne turned into Wells? Who knows? But it was a nice little thing that gets it in your head and starts to, I can start gnawing away. Is like, can we trust him? Can we trust him?
And they play into that too, because one song that we hear during the episode is "You're No Good" while Wells is working. And Cisco comes walking in, and he
that
just
was
could
fantastic.
Not believe it. Could not believe it. Like, are you really playing this song? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was gonna say it was. I have to say it wasn't the most subtle use of music on the show.
Remember how I said, what if he showed up and they played Sympathy for the Devil and you said that was too on point? I think that one tops it.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
I think that
right
was
there with
far
Captain
more Cold's, on point.
Cold as ice, yeah.
Could they please get in touch with the people who do the music on Fargo and maybe just have a bit more subtlety with their choices? anyway. Sorry.
So my first, yeah, Jason?
I was going to say one last thing that reminded me of last year's Wells was when he drops a fast enough to Barry towards the end. He tells Barry he's fast enough. It was the title of last year's finale.
That's right. Yes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the fact that as much of an asshole as he is, he still ends up assuming the same role as the previous Wells did, as the mentor, as coaching him for his powers and everything else. So I did enjoy the different parallels, which, you know, considering he's from a parallel Earth, makes perfect sense.
All right. So speaking of like parallels and Wells and Wells, I think one of the things I'm finding most interesting is the fact that all last season I was referring to Harrison Wells Thawne as a monster. This season, they've shown us what a monster really is. Wells was evil, but he never got into people that feeling of, I have to avoid this creature at all costs. Whereas Zoom, Dr. Light, who is told time and time again by Jay to them, he's like, she wouldn't kill, is prepared to kill to never come in contact with Zuma again. And Wells, every time he talks about him, he goes, you don't understand. This is not just someone who's fast. This is someone who can make people do things they would never do. We truly are seeing a monster. The way they're building Zoom to be, he's more than just something that has speed. He's something that embodies speed and evil above and beyond. Like Jay's talking about, you realize when Jay starts talking, he was running as fast as he could to get away from him most of the time because he was afraid of what it was. And it's almost like Zoom is a thing more than a person when they describe him. And I think that's good because we're getting a more of a villain than just some guy who has a vendetta. We're getting something that wants just the speed and he wants it all for himself. And he's willing to do anything to get it. This is truly what a monster is. And I'm excited to see that that's where they're going with him.
Good point. Like a big, bulky speedster.
It's interesting because it's more of kind of like a personification of evil, which we were talking about offline once recently, and who's just fueled by you know, like the more, one of the more basic, you know, sins, you know, it's greed, it's his ego, and, you know, how he wants to be the in vanity because he wants to be the only one with such speed abilities. So it almost makes more sense that it would be some sort of almost a creature than of a sort rather than a man. So until such time as he is revealed to be a man, which is still very possible, I do like this take on it because it does really differentiate him from the Reverse Flash, who was most certainly a human with, you know, with a vendetta, as you were saying.
Yeah, I agree. He definitely just seems, malevolent. Whereas, you know, Reverse Flash was basically out for himself. This just seems he's being evil for the sake of being evil. And
yeah, he's a bad dude. I like the fact that you can't see really his face through his mask. It just, you can't tell if it's like a solid mask or some kind of liquid mask or whatever it is.
That's the thing. Is it a mask or is that what he actually looks like now? What has actually happened to him? Are we seeing a mask or are we seeing Zoom and his true horror self?
It's interesting. I do like that mask, though.
Yeah, this episode was good because we really got a good look at him in the suit and where he had Wells' daughter kidnapped. You really got to see him, and the work they did on him is fantastic. To have something that has barely any color in it, but to see it so done so well, with a suit that monotone, things could get lost, but they really made it to where things stand out, and he looks great.
Definitely.
I agree. All right, my turn?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I want to talk about the relationship between Barry and Patty. I'm really enjoying the relationship between the two of them. It really seems to flow more than anything that Barry and Iris have had so far, even though they're ones that are supposed to be together. The date that they had, it could have been cliched, but instead it was charming in a way because of the way of Barry's blindness and Cisco trying to guide him through there. And he's like, dude, she's awesome looking. Should compliment her. And, you know, he does that. Of course, he's blind during the whole thing, and Patty picks up on it and she calls him out on it. And he's like, you're right. You got me. You know, I don't know why he shouldn't have said it to begin with. Sorry about that. But anyway, when she says that, Cisco's like, he's on to you. Abort, abort. That's fantastic. And the way the date ends is got tremendous chemistry to it. You know, really believable. The steamy kiss for 8:30 on a primetime show. What can I say? What are you guys' thoughts?
You sound like someone with a girlfriend. I absolutely, not only do I agree with you, that was actually the second thing I wrote down was, God help me, I'm going to say the so-called blind date. Was my next favorite thing about the episode. I've liked her, but I haven't been quite as crazy about the character as you guys have been. I mean, I liked her, but I was really taken with her in this episode, specifically the date and that burgundy dress and the science stuff and everything else. And everything you just said, like, spot on. I even the fact that I like that she figured out and probably had known for some time that he was, you know, unable to see. I wouldn't be much of a detective. And I was thinking, that's like, she better pick up on this because it's pretty obvious if you give it. Why else would he be wearing sunglasses during a whole date, you know? So
he was bumping into everything.
Yeah. I think she wanted to see how far he would take it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, actually. Oh, and since it is kind of connected, I'd like to give points for Grant Gustin doing some nice little physical humor during the episode with his blindness during the date, and also previous to it at the lab. I kind of got a kick out of some of that as well.
Oh, mm-hmm. That cracked me up.
And although it didn't happen in that scene, it did have one of Cade's favorite lines earlier when they're at the coffee shop, and He's like, I got to do some science stuff.
I got science stuff. I got to be doing some science stuff. The stuff.
I got to do some science.
I got to do some sciencey science stuff. Like, that made me laugh so hard when I saw that. It's like smooth, Barry, real smooth.
But I think that's a natural reaction that any one of us would have when approached by a woman like that.
I would agree with you, Jason.
I'm not wrong.
I'll have to ask Vicky if that's how she would react. So I don't
know. Probably. Because I am that awkward.
Oh, no.
All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead. I enjoyed the return of Cisco's sass. It hasn't been that prevalent in the past couple episodes, but this week he was back in full force, especially towards Harrison Wells. I mean, you know, as he, I think, has the most reason out of anyone to dislike Wells, and this was basically just his way of dealing with him. He's like, I'm not gonna take anything you say seriously, and I'm just gonna spit back, you know, my version of some vitriol there.
I think a key exchange there was when Wells asks him, like, I guess I did something to you to hurt you, and Cisco's like, well, you killed me, and Wells is like, well, that'll do it.
I know we're talking about Cisco, but I'm suddenly thinking of lines that Wells said that made me laugh. We're like, wow, only you could get away saying, yeah, I killed his mother, blah, blah, blah. And I went, that sounds like the way I podcast, blah, blah, blah. But I did like the fact that Cisco really got a lot of views in this episode, quite frankly. He's interacting with Wells. He's at the coffee shop. He's on the date with Barry. You know, there's a heavy helping of Cisco throughout this one. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say we've also gotten more Cisco, I think, than in the past couple episodes as well. So, which was really nice.
True, true.
Because sometimes he can just, you know, be relegated to the, you know, tech guy and whatnot.
Comic relief.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, Crisco was very useful this episode.
I love that, Crisco.
All right, I'll take it forward here. There's something I found that was a little negative on. I wasn't really feeling Jay's motivations towards the end when he decided not to help Barry out. I mean, what he said kind of made sense, but like, if you really think about it, it's kind of dumb. Like, oh, I don't want to be responsible for you like getting killed, so I'm just not gonna help you. You can go do it on yourself anyway. Like, you can still fucking die without my help. It just seemed kind of, you know, it wasn't like, you know, Henry Allen getting out of jail and getting the fuck out of town right away bad, but it was kind of, it really just, you know, it was senseless. And I mean, obviously the dude was a little shell-shocked, but yeah.
Oh, Dan, that's one of my points, is I thought that Jay Garrick was a bit of a disappointment this episode, and I did equate with him leaving to Wesley Shipp booking out at the end of an episode. Like, that's it, I'm out, see you guys. This is too tough for me. That does not seem like Jay Garrick to me, but
yeah,
whatever.
I absolutely agree with what Dan said. That's honestly the only issue I had with the entire episode, was that scene and Jay Garrick kind of bailing out. Although Jay Garrick bailing out at that moment, in a way, kind of made Wells 2.0 look, you know, like he was right all along about him being kind of, you know, cowardly or whatever. I like Jay in the rest of the episode. I wouldn't say the whole episode was a bad episode for Jay Garrick, but that scene is so significant. It kind of took away from, I mean, I love the fight with Wells. I mean, we don't get to see two non-superpowered people trying to, you know, kick each other's ass. You know, I liked him, you know, talking about, you know, the stuff on Earth too, which I'm sure someone's going to bring up at some point here. But that scene, Dan's right on spot. I was like, oh, that took away from what was, I thought was an excellent episode. That kind of, it was a wrong note, whatever the phrase is. I can't think of it right now.
Yeah, he was definitely good before that. I enjoyed seeing him like on Earth too, and him and his like, you know, his surveillance date with Caitlin, even though like they're like, you know, spying at somebody in like a giant white Star Labs creeper van wasn't super stealthy.
Not exactly subtle.
Even though probably some of you haven't watched it, not the only show I watched this week where someone was being followed in a van. It was clearly a Mark Miller. Really? Why? Anyway, you'll. I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., those of you who watch it, you'll see they're in a van, which is clearly a fake van. It's just ridiculous. Sorry. Oh, is it my turn?
It is your turn.
Oh, gosh. It's funny because talking about Jay made me think of something that I had never written down, but I kind of want to stick to what I had written. So I'll leave that for... let me just get to it. One of my favorite things about season one was whenever, being a longtime comic book fan, was whenever they debuted new for TV viewers, Flash ability or power, something I always, you know, had seen in the comic books for decades. And they did that in this episode. One of my all-time favorite Flash abilities, you know, right up there running on water and stuff, or running through objects, is what they call the Speed Mirage, where there could be like dozens of Barrys all over the place because he, you know, running from one spot to another so fast that he leaves like an after image of himself. I really got a kick out of that. I thought it was interesting that Wells 2.0 has the idea for him to do that and tells him to do that, because this isn't the Wells that we have from Earth One, who himself was a speedster because it was, you know, Thawne. This presumably, we don't know, but presumably he's not a speedster of any kind, because his own little watch thing doesn't go off when he wears it, I guess. He's just smart enough to know this, I guess. But it was a nice effect. It was used well. And it was used in order to, defeat Dr. Light. So it had, you know, a good purpose to it. But again, I just get that's the geek in me. I get excited when I see a new Flash thing used. So there's still one or two other ones I can think of, but I was glad that they got this one done in this episode.
Yeah, that was really cool, even though Dr. Light was definitely like a complete dumbass for like, hey, my 360 attack works. Let's just go back to this attack that doesn't work instead of using that like multiple times.
Dan, you got to start bringing the logic in. It's not helping.
Oh.
Yeah, because if you're going to question logic, then here's one. Hey, I just thought of this like an hour ago. Barry's blinded by Dr. Light in the bank vault. We then next see him blind at Star Labs. How does Barry get to Star Labs from the bank vault? Do they get over there and bring him back with no one noticing? And Shepard?
Well, they have this little Star Labs van they can drive around in that's rather inconspicuous. They just managed to do a Barry pickup. No one noticed that going on.
Yeah, I was going to say someone would have to probably come and get him.
Someone say, hey, it's too bad we don't have... don't we have another speedster? Oh, no, we don't. Sorry, Jay.
Thanks, Jay. Thanks for nothing. Captain Useless over there.
Captain Useless. I wish Wells had called him that in the episode.
I know. That would have been great.
Anyway, go on.
I want to point out my next one is... I'm glad that we finally have the reveal that Cisco has his powers to everybody. I'm glad they didn't drag that on for like the entire season, because now we can just get on with it and he can be even more helpful for the team using that powers. And I wonder if we'll see Wells trying to show him how to use those powers as well, now that he's basically outed him as having that power.
He's going to be a jerk about it, though.
He's going to be a jerk. Also, this occurred to me. How does Wells know everyone? Besides knowing the power, he has a power. He knew a little bit more about what it was than he probably should have. That seemed a little strange.
I'm going to go with the smartest guy in the world excuse for that one.
I will agree with you.
I have no plausible explanation beyond
that. I will accept smartest guy in the world. I will accept that as a good explanation for it.
I just figured maybe his watch gave like, you know, more detailed data. I mean, having a watch to just that tells you about metahumans wouldn't be super useful if it was just a proximity detector. So maybe it can just.
That was what I assumed as well.
Also, it could be since metas are widely known on Earth too, he could have had an experience with someone who has something similar that does that kind of thing and picked up on it from there. Because we don't really know how many metahumans they've actually dealt with in that other place. Like, Jay's just running around as the Flash. Everyone knows him. They're seeing him. So it's very possible there's more they know about. And he might know about plenty and could have picked that up from then.
That's true.
All possible.
All right. My turn again. I'm going to start by saying that I happen to really love the look for Earth 2. The Art Deco look for it. The architecture and the clothes. You know, I wish we'd spend more time there than what we get. But I understand that the cost of it and people may get confused if they don't put the little thing down at the bottom. And it was really good to see Jay in action in his uniform, the way he's supposed to look. He looked like the hero that he's supposed to be and not the coward that he is later on the episode. Sorry, I went there. Maybe he just needs his speed back to get his courage. What do you guys think about that?
I definitely think that having his abilities is tied to his confidence because, you know, as he said, you know, Zoom took him from him, like pretty much the most important thing from him. So it, you know, he doesn't have very much confidence in himself. And so of course he's gonna, you know, run off and not help them with, you know, when he doesn't agree with what they want to do. So.
Well, walk off because he can't really run. But
well, he can run at a normal speed.
Yeah. I have one more Jay thing, and that's when he's in the van with Caitlin, he lets it slip that Atlantis is real and it's above water and that one of his best friends is from there. And yes. Could this possibly be a reference to Earth 2 Aquaman?
I had that thought as well.
I was like, is Jason going to show up on the show? How awesome.
That would be awesome. It'd be big news. I put that on the Twitter page.
I don't remember if that's an inside joke or not, but I said it anyway. Vicky?
All right. Well, this is also tied to Cisco from this week's episode. You know, to convince Barry that he needed to just ask Patty out, he randomly went up to the barista and asked her out, and she turned him down. Later on in the episode, she, you know, they see each other again, and she's like, you know what, I just moved here, yada yada, I should, you know, yes, so I'll go out with you. And we learned that she is Kendra Saunders, aka Hot Girl.
Her first appearance since the season finale last year.
Yes.
Which was ridiculous. Yeah. Like a still frame. What is the point? Yeah, I didn't know she was going to be showing up in this episode, especially as a barista at Jitters. But again, just planting more seeds for Legends of Tomorrow. That's what these shows are doing, apparently. But that was nice to see her.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting her either. And I fully admit it took me quite a while it took her actually saying her name to realize that it was her. Because I was like, she looks really familiar, but I just couldn't, you know, place it.
Don't worry, you weren't the only one. Did the same thing to me.
That one, I did recognize her right off the bat. The other character that was sort of introduced here, who's actually a bigger part of Flash mythos allure, I didn't realize who it was even after the episode was over. And I had to like read about it online, and I was like, oh, I didn't know that's who that character was. They're making some changes. But the fact that Wells' daughter is not simply just Wells' daughter, she's actually another character as well. Does anyone want to fill that in for me so I don't have to say it?
I don't know who it is, but I was going to take a guess.
Nope, because I played the game last night. Scott baited me into looking, and I sure enough, I was like, I looked, I'm like, oh, Jesse Quick. Oh, wait a minute. That's who that was. I remember when they cast her, but again, I didn't recognize her face enough to when we saw it in the show to immediately go, hey, Jesse Quick is Wells' daughter. So I'm interested to see how that plays out, how that's going to work.
Right. And just to briefly clarify for people listening who aren't, you know, major DC historian, comic book fan types, Jesse Quick is another speedster that who has the original character or character versions of the character, you know, traced back, you know, to, you know, various characters all the way back to the Golden Age, practically. It looks like they're not doing that with this series if she's Wells' daughter, unless there's more to her than meets the eye. If she's perhaps an adopted daughter, I don't know. I don't know if we'll get into that. But when they cast that actress, they specifically said they'd cast her as Jesse Quick. So at some point, they're going to do something with her where she's going to be revealed to be some sort of a speedster as well, I believe.
Yeah, what kind of logic puzzle they're going to have to twist themselves into to figure out why her last name's not Wells and it's Quick instead, unless that's just going to be her code name.
That wouldn't surprise me. All the Flash names are taken. You gotta be someone else, honey. Is there anything else you guys wanted to point out about the episode? Because I can think of something. I can, if no one else can.
You guys covered everything pretty well. One thing that I liked seeing, one of the actresses who plays one of the leads on Star Trek Deep Space Nine was one of the reporters at Wells's Earth 2 press conference thingy. So I always enjoy seeing Star Trek series leads in that or in anything. That's all.
Cool. I feel like I should at least give a nod to the fact that we got an amalgam sort of version of Dr. Light on this episode. Dr. Light, whether it be the original villain who was a great or goofy villain until DC Comics decided to turn him into a murdering rapist. And then everyone really hated the character. But they also had a female version of Dr. Light who was actually a hero. Version seems to, well, she's a villain, but she's kind of a light villain, but she's a female. So it seems like she's kind of a cross between the two. The outfit did kind of make me think of the female version of Dr. Light from the comic book. So I like the fact that, because thankfully something I didn't know before the episode, I did not know that she was going to actually be Linda Park. I did not know that. So that was
was a fun little thing.
Yeah, I did not see that one coming. Go on. I'm sorry.
I didn't really think much of that. I'm not really impressed with the characters. So having like some lame pointless character be like, this pointless character is this hero or villain in the other universe, that didn't really do much for me. But
you're entitled to think that. But I like Linda Park better than you. But and she's also going to play a key role.
Dan, I didn't like it either.
If I was saying it's the worst thing in there. Yeah, it's just like, hey, like they're trying to be cute. But, I mean, unless you guys have some, motivation for thinking that Linda Park is such a great character, that this is, like, awesome.
What it does is Linda Park, it's not about the character. It's about her connection to Barry. So by making the villain, re-emphasizing how different the two worlds are, that this girl that Barry knew, that dated, is a straight-up villain in the other world, it kind of gives more of the sense of how different these worlds are and that they are really different worlds. They're not just parallels. There's not just you're over here, you're over there. You over here, maybe someone I dated who's a good person, who's a reporter trying to do things. Over there, you're robbing banks and you're a problem. So by making it someone he knows this time, it makes it more of an impact of what's going on.
And also to continue that thought, it makes it more interesting that instead of Zoom just sending over, whatever the most vile threat he can come up with, like an Atom Smasher, he's also sending over people that are going to, pretty much screw with the Flash because of, who it turns out to be. And it looks like it's also going to play a major part in the next episode, the fact that it was Linda Park. So it's more of a plot thing, but I feel that her character and how its importance in the story is therefore perhaps more important or more key to this episode and probably the next one as well than, say, Atom Smasher was, or that ridiculous Firestorm villain was, or whatever. So, you know, I, for those reasons, and plus, you know, knowing who the character, it's got, you know, knowing who the character is kind of helped a little bit too. I kind of liked it. So, didn't, I'm not saying I loved it, but I liked it enough though, and I thought it just fed the story well, you know.
Yeah, if you would have had a goatee, it probably would have worked for me a little bit better, but, you know.
There could be a dangling plot thread here, is that Dr. Light outs Jay as a Flash in front of the real, in front of Earth 1 Linda Park, so who knows if that's going to go anywhere.
Doubt it. Sorry. There was one line I wanted to make a point of noting that Caitlin has in this episode when she's later on in the episode, when she's trying to console Cisco. She says something along the lines of, just because, you know, we get like powers or metahuman powers or abilities doesn't necessarily mean we'll turn evil. And you got to think they're kind of making a little wink and a reference to the fact that either she or a parallel she is going to turn out to be Killer Frost at some point in the future. So I thought that was kind of a neat little reference there.
Yeah, I wasn't very surprised that they were, you know, nothing but supportive of, you know, learning about Cisco's powers. I mean, I know he was worried that because he supposedly got them from Wells that he would become evil, but it seems like that thought didn't ever cross their mind. They know their friend. They know how good-hearted he is and don't think that he would, you know, purposely turn evil just because he has powers.
Right. So, are we at the point where we can just basically give our just our overall opinion of the episode before we move on to the next hero?
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I'll just say right off the bat, this for me, maybe because of the different storylines coalescing and the fact that it balanced both, you know, the episode is called The Darkness and the Light, and I thought the episode kind of balanced both darkness and light rather well. I kind of think this is my favorite episode of the season so far, quite frankly. So, so you know, I liked it a lot. You know, it's an A episode for me.
I'm going to say I liked it and give it an A as well. What I'm liking is the fact that, as a counterpoint to something I'm talking about, whereas Arrow seems to really be delving into the mystical side of, like, the universe, Flash is really going into that multiple universe time travel with all these different interactions between the two worlds. I'm really liking seeing that, and I hope they don't stray from it as the season goes. So I'm going to give it an A for just the interaction between Earth 2 Wells and everybody, seeing them having to react to someone who's totally different, but in some ways totally the same.
Hmm. You talked like that, Kate. You remind me of something that I was going to say earlier, and that was during the Wells portion. That was Wells mentioned. Notice the fact that Barry's traveled in time twice, and he kind of like tucked that in his brain. But anyway, on to my review. I said I thought it was probably the best of the season. There was a lot of good stuff tonight. The episode gets an A from me. It was less set up for Legends and more of an old school episode from last year. And I had to say about it.
I'm going to give it an A as well. I thought everything meshed really well. You know, the different storylines and whatnot. So, yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed the episode, but it didn't, other than Barry and Patty's date, a lot of the other stuff really didn't work for me that well, so, you know, I'm not going to bother rating it because I just don't want to, but, you know,
cool.
Whatever, move on, that's all.
He's so surly. All right, so we now will switch outfits and we'll go on to tonight's episode of Arrow, which was called Haunted. Now, Vicky, are you and I just going to take this up? No, I'm just kidding.
No, I can talk all about this episode. I loved it.
Let's just get right to the very first thing, which I know the thing that's at the top of the heads of me and Vicky. I'm pretty sure about that. the arrival and use of John Constantine in this episode. Now, and I will say right off the bat, this is going to mean a lot more to people who watch that show. If you didn't watch the show, it won't probably mean quite as much. You might end up liking the character anyway, but it's not going to have quite the same impact. And that's understandable. And that's unfortunate because I think, what, like 17 people watched Constantine probably. But I was very pleased with seeing him here. I thought they used his character pretty well because it was key to the plot of the overall season and story. I may not, like most folks, I may not be really happy with the whole Sarah Lazarus Pitt thing, and that's more because of a certain other Lance, which I'll rip on later. But at least you brought in Constantine to try to make things better, you know? And let's face it, this is the first time I have given a flying fuck about a flashback on Arrow since May of 2014. It's the only time I've cared at all. Even if granted, not really much happened in the flashback except establishing that Oliver knows Constantine, but that's all it was there for. That's fine, because I enjoyed watching those two more than, you know, any of the other crappy flashbacks.
I need to scratch out point two here. Hold on.
Well, speaking of scratching, and this would be,
I said I had to scratch out point two there. Freddy.
Speaking of scratching, one last thing, and then I'll shut up about it. The peacock feather.
Brilliant. It was like a superbly John Constantine thing to do.
The only thing that would have made that better and more funny, and maybe they just didn't want to do it because it's 8 to 9 o'clock on the CW. I don't know. I think they could have gotten away with it. I wish he had scratched his ass with it as opposed to his back. Because if anyone might not have gotten it, that's an NBC reference. Because NBC is known as, you know, the Peacock Network. That's been their symbol for many decades. So the fact that he gets a peacock feather, which he uses for nothing other than just to scratch his back, is kind of like a, yeah, fuck you, NBC. So I'm really happy about this. Now, Vicky, you can feel free to gush away.
Okay. Just the fact alone that he was in the episode, I loved it. You know, I'm going to be annoying and say that I wish, you know, he had been in more of it, but what he was in, I thought was fantastic. I just loved having his sass and gosh, I'm gushing now.
I don't believe that's the adjective you use, bud.
It's you vibrating.
Vibrating, well, with excitement.
One leads to... never mind. It's noise. What's
go on, Vicky. Go on, please.
I was not surprised that, you know, he knows who Damien Dark is and was basically saying to Oliver, get out of town when you have the chance. This guy is no good. Let's see.
And that's totally what he would say too, which we know about that, yes, character. He wouldn't tell him to fight. He'd tell him, get the hell out of town, which is exactly the way Constantine would speak.
Yes. And then flashbacks. Yeah, it was definitely the best flashback this season.
Because it was him.
Yeah, no, I fully confess. I almost missed when they first showed him in the flashback because I was, you know, looking down at typing up some notes, and my sister, she was like, "Oh my gosh, it's him!" And he hadn't even spoken it yet. She just recognized him by his hair.
Even though they still had to do their little workaround with his smoking issue, like seeing him in present day putting out a cigarette and never actually smoking it, I love seeing him in the episode. Although I will agree about wanting to see more of him in one key moment in the episode, which is probably one of my negative things about the episodes. I'll save it for later, or maybe someone else will bring it up. I don't want to dominate this too much. But yeah, just so happy to see him.
Yeah, and what was it? His comment, you know, if I knew you were surrounded by so many pretty girls, I would have stopped by ages ago. And then Thea makes it clear that, oh, she finds him attractive. And I'll just, yeah, I didn't hear that.
She used the word yummy, which kind of freaked out.
Yeah. Okay, I think that's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to gush too much more.
While I'm not Scott and Vicky, who I did not watch the show Constantine because I didn't want to see it, because John Constantine Hellblazer is one of my favorite books. And when I did get to watch the show, I thoroughly enjoyed how much he embraced it. So going into this episode, I saw the trailer, the little commercial for it last night. I got super excited and was so happy with this episode and just the way he comes off, because it's such a different presence than anyone else on that show. But he worked so well with everything. And the fact that he does know Oliver is a totally Constantine thing, because he's always bumped into the hero, the DC person, the weird places, and then would show up again. So it was totally a Brave and the Bold like episode of the show, having these two really random guys get teamed up but now have a connection, work well together. And it was that, what when I mentioned Flash exploring the multiverse thing, it was another way of Arrow embracing the mystical side of the DC universe. Bringing him in is automatically connecting him to the magics that exist in there, and him knowing Damian Dark and playing it, just it worked so well for me in that episode. And it just gave me some, it was so much glee. I was just excited from every moment you saw him.
You know, I think that folds into my point where I'd written down that John Constantine, he works in the Arrow universe, where I had my doubts as to the mystical side and how it's going to work with the Grim and Gritty show. But, you know, I liked it. It worked. You know, I want to see him get his own series back, and I wouldn't mind if it's on the CW. Matt Ryan is perfect for the character. And maybe he'll come back to the conclusion of this, of the Dark storyline. That would be nice.
Yeah, that would be amazing if he could.
You can't go wrong with more Constantine, can you?
Never, like I said.
I
have a feeling that he's got like a poster of him on his wall.
What's your prediction, Dan?
Well, just that they'll have him come back at the end of the season or whenever they defeat Dark and have him take away whatever Dark's, like, you know, box thing that he prays to, like, you know, to store it away.
I think that's a really good prediction, actually. That makes he would be the character to do that also. So that would make perfect sense, because he does collect all the different mystical objects and whatever.
They made a point that he collects, you know, all the different objects.
Yeah, he basically says it, so it's there in the mind of the viewer that this is the thing he does. So when it happens, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, speaking
of collecting, in the first episode of Constantine on NBC, we saw Dr. Fate's helmet.
Yes. It's like a borderline non sequitur here.
And that's Jason's flashback moment of the night, everybody.
Dr. Fate is another mystical DC character who was one of the original members of the Justice Society of America from the 40s and has had different incarnations over the years. But he's a major player. And when you visited my house that time and you saw those three big posters in the toy room, the center one was of Dr. Fate, because he's always been one of my all-time favorite characters. So big fan.
All right, who's next?
You.
I just went. I went. I folded my point onto yours.
Oh, okay. I see what you did there. Then Dan or Scott or Vicky again. Because we kind of got out of order there since Vicky was excited and I didn't want to jump ahead of her.
Well, we kind of all just timed in on Constantine.
Yeah, couldn't help it on that one. Dan, is there something you want to bring up before I go?
Yeah, I'll go forward. I liked the the fight scene choreography when Sarah attacked the inner apartment. I thought it was really well done, at least until they got to the stairway, because that was kind of freaking lame. But before that, it was super tense and shot really well, edited really well. So I thought they really, they really did the ferocious Sarah stuff effectively in this episode. The music and everything really helped sell that.
I was kind of hoping she would beat the crap out of her sister a bit more in the episode. That would have I would have appreciated that more. Like maybe smash her face into the wall a few times and disfigure her horribly or something. But, you
know, a whole thanks for bringing me back from the dead type thing.
Yeah, this episode. Okay, I was gonna go negative just yet. It's not really negative about the episode. It's just negative about a character. I know I won't even. Since I've already ranted about it in the past, I'll just keep it briefer than brief here. I'm sorry. Laurel is just awful in every way possible. I hated her throughout this episode. She is just. I was so frustrated with her because I kept wanting. Really, are you just going to skate away from this? You are really not going to take responsibility for this. You twit. And then when she tries to put it off on Ollie, I was like, no, because it's not the same thing. I don't like her character. I've totally switched sides on this. I can't stand her. I wish they could find a way to get rid of that character altogether. She annoys me every time I see her on screen now. She's basically two steps away from becoming Walking Dead Beth hate for me at this point. So she needs to be, unless somehow they redeem her, and I don't know how that's going to happen for me. Right now, I'm just solidly against her. I'm hoping she shows up on Legend of Tomorrow, dies there, and then we never have to see her again.
When her dad was trying, yelling at her for doing this, she was still denying that, it was her fault.
Yeah.
and she just reacted to everything like just so stupidly the whole episode. I mean, like whatever was going on, she just had like the dumbest possible reactions.
Yeah, she's horrible.
Well, that's the thing. There's nothing for her now. Everything she does, no one cares about. So now her sister's alive again. So there's not even that. So it's like, what other terrible thing are they going to come up with that we're going to have to live with week to week for her character that no one's going to care about? I mean, we don't need her on the team. Just get rid of her at this point.
Well, what I did to celebrate her character during watching the episode was I lit all these candles around the room and I started doing like Constantine kind of incantations just to try to make sure that she would be the one who ends up in the grave at the end of the season, because I hate her so much at this point. Just saying.
She's going to need a strong redemption arc to make her... Yeah. Likeable again.
Maybe they can use her. They can use her to break up Oliver and Felicity. That'd really bring her back to the good side, I think.
For Dan, yeah.
Yeah.
For one viewer.
Here's the thing, Jason. A second redemption arc, because that's what they were doing the whole she becomes a hero thing about. So, I mean, what are we going to do? Every season have a Laurel redemption arc? No one cares anymore. They haven't realized that. They made a character everyone hates.
They should just ship her to Gotham so she could be with a whole bunch of other horrible, horribly written characters. I hate. Oh, that's a sneak preview. Just kidding.
The only Lance I want around is Captain Lance, because I'm really beginning. They're really doing a good job of making me like him. This episode, him and Diggle being a team up, so it's nice to see him interplaying with someone else. The fact that he goes to Oliver about Sarah, it's good to see that. He is starting to, he might not love Oliver yet, but he's starting to believe in him and give him chances with things. And the fact that Oliver said, hey, go see Diggle, he can help you with this, was Oliver saying, I'm trying to work with you. We know you can help us in this situation. And that's going to be good.
Yeah, if they can't have just like some sort of friendship or whatever, they can at least have a bit of some kind of a working relationship.
Was that one of the very few times we've seen just Diggle and Quentin Lance working together. I'm having a hard time remembering if we've seen that before or not.
I don't know if we ever have.
I don't know if we ever have.
That might be the first time.
I really like that combination, just because it was, like you said, it was unique, it was different, but it makes sense that these two would eventually work together or do something together. So I thought there was a nice payoff to that. I even like their little, what do we call it? It's not a heist, but their little plan, their scheme.
That was entertaining.
I like them conking him on the head.
I didn't have a problem with the plan, but you could have warned me you were going to do that. Give me a concussion. That was a nice little thing.
See, the one time the Weller doesn't wear his helmet, he, you know, takes a blow. <out of that.
laughs> Dan made the joke for me.
I can't believe it didn't occur to me. God damn it.
The welder.
Jason.
Oh, is it my turn? Okay. I'm gonna talk about a minor character here, and it's one of the times that I broke out in chat was something that is totally outside my character. I was like, it was Curtis Holt's workout outfit. His direct homage to his comics costume as Mr. Terrific. All it was missing was a fair play on the sleeves and the tea mask.
Was a comic character like super athletic like that too?
Yeah, he was super brilliant. Yes. And a super athlete. He was like, that's why he was Mr. Terrific. He was about everything. So it was nice that they gave that little reference to that character.
Yeah, that's cute.
Yeah, it wasn't big, just a minor thing, but I enjoyed it.
Him and the energy drinks was worse than, was it Abby on NCIS with her calf towel?
That's a good point. He's not allowed to say energy drink anymore, according to Felicity.
Yeah.
Was that the point you wanted to bring up, Vicky?
No. Sorry, give me 1 second. I have a dog that I have to deal with.
Boy, dog.
I love that we're actually waiting for him to take care of it.
Oh my god.
Sorry, she's being very needy right now. Okay. She's like practically in my lap.
God, I hope we have some dog sound effects we can put in over there.
Okay, give me like 15 seconds and I can go make my thing. My point.
We're totally leaving this in. Yeah. Not only are we leaving this in, I'm putting it on the segment right now.
Yeah.
We wait deals with dog. Deal with her
dog. Yep, pets always have a special place in this podcast, whatever.
The most riveting 2 minutes of all of podcasting.
Even random other people's pets have moments in our podcast, thanks to the dog in Scott's backyard.
Five cat in Dan's lap.
Come here, Richie. Come here. Be on the podcast. Stop fighting with Bon Jovi and be on the damn podcast.
Podcasting.
Sorry.
That cat is halfway there.
This better be like the greatest point of all time, Vicky. Just saying.
I really liked Oliver and Felicity's relationship when they're sitting on the couch there. Just they look so comfortable and boring, domesticated. It just makes me want to puke. Oh, never mind your point. But...
Oh, okay, that was a good scene.
I was gonna
bring up how with Lance and Diggle working together, we finally find out why. Andy Diggle, you know, his brother was killed. Basically, he was dealing drugs, so not necessarily the paragon of virtue John thought him to be. And so Hive, or, you know, Dark had him eliminated.
It was a salute. It's a little bit of a mystery we got resolved with that, so that's true.
Yeah. But then what was it? Also, Dark's reaction to all of Lance's questions. What is this guy, your buddy? I don't see you associating yourself with Crime Lords, present company excluded.
That scene also had a good line where Lance wasn't leaving and Dark goes, "Are you staying for cupcakes?" Even though he's on the episode just so little, he has good moments that make it worth just having him in there just for those little bits we're getting of him.
I'm debating whether or not I might say something negative about him later. So I'm thinking about it. I'll let you guys continue talking. Dun, dun, dun. Suspense.
I don't got much more. I agree with whoever said that it was nice that they keep having him in the episodes a little bit just to kind of, you know, let you know that he's still there. Even if it's not a huge role, you really feel his presence.
Well, I'll go with the one of the things that really I was a little disappointed in the episode, which I think could have been much better and should have been bigger. I thought the entire sequence with with what I'll call the fight for Sarah's soul, as far as when they go to that other, you know, dimension or whatever you want to call it, I felt that should have been a bigger deal. I felt it should have gone on longer. It should have been a bigger ordeal. There should have been more of a feeling, a degree of sacrifice and difficulty. It never felt that way to me. It felt like you had this big buildup and you got John Constantine there, but if I recall it correctly, okay, they take out two guys, then John fights this other one guy while they pull her out of a pool. I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
It should have been a bigger deal. And maybe we could have lost some of the stupid Laurel moments had this scene be more of an entire act. And then, you know, even end with a little bit of a cliffhanger and then come back in the following act and, you know, them actually rescuing her and getting her soul, whatever. It just felt like, oh, that's it. Okay, we got our soul back, everybody.
I just kind of felt they were just kind of showing that, like, Constantine is, like, super competent when it comes to fight this, just like you said, like, riding a bike. I mean, just moved in there, took care of business, and, you know, lickety-split. So while it wasn't super, like, dramatic, it just kind of made it seem like, this guy knows his magic shit.
But he said that you're going to have to fight your way out of it, implied that it was going to be this perilous thing, and then it wasn't. His buildup didn't have a payoff to it. And like Scott said, it did not have what they had already built it up to be.
They had more problems fighting Lady Cop than they did fighting.
Yes.
That's the problem.
Yeah. That goes along with my point that I was saying, you know, I wish there had been more of Constantine in this, because I felt the fact that they were basically building a lot of the episode around Constantine, you would think that he would have been more involved in this process of getting Sarah's soul back would have been, you know, quote unquote, harder.
Right. Now, I'm going to go ahead and kill another one of my points here, and that was my criticism as well with Scott, is that this seemed like a bit of a rush towards the end. You could tell that they were running out of time, and they just kind of banged it out. I thought maybe they could just have stretched this out into a two-part episode, you know. That was my point.
I mean, I still like the episode overall and all the content of it, but yeah, it's what Vicky keeps saying, I agree with. It's just, I would have preferred it, just more of him in that specific situation, because that's what you brought him there for. I didn't want him to dominate the episode overall necessarily. He's just a key player in the episode, but, you know, I just thought there should have been more with him in that instance.
Yeah, something more mystical instead of like, oh, I made him float so I could stab him. Like, why not have like a demon or something where he actually has to show off more power? And we never really got that. I mean, we got a hint of some him doing something that we haven't seen the payoff when he transferred the tattoo to Oliver. We haven't seen the payoff for that. But beyond that, it was little parlor tricks, basically, is probably Constantine would crawl. There was nothing big he did at all.
I just wanted them all to be doing more than just, you know, fight two guys and then pull her out of a pool and then take forever pulling her out of a pool. I didn't see what was keeping her in the pool.
They were like some monster hands pulling her down. They did not make a point of it enough to really reference what was going on. Again, a failure with that scene.
I didn't see your cameo. I missed that. So I didn't know. I mean, I'm not even saying they needed to have like break the budget with special effects with demons or whatever. I don't know. Just bring out have 50 extras that they have to fight a whole lot of guys or something. So it's just, so you get the feeling how difficult it is or something, you know, like the League of Assassin kind of crap. But this, I don't know. I was a little disappointed. I still liked it, but I just like, oh, is that it? Okay. Whatever. Anyway, I think we've trashed it enough.
Yeah, we found something negative in the episode. There we go.
I have other negatives.
One thing.
I can think of something else.
I can tell you one thing I'm tired of. I'm tired of the flashback. Because they're doing nothing. It's worse than last year where at least it moved along. It's just Island. Oliver's bad. I don't want to listen to this. Don't do something about it. We're getting nothing for it. And we're like, if we at least had some sense of what he was trying to do, it would make the flashback better. But we have no idea. He's just spying on someone. All they're basically doing is growing drugs out there. And there's all the hints of something more, but I'd like to have known what that more was.
Yeah, this episode definitely could have been served better with, like, you spending their money on, like, demon, freaky monster CGI instead of location shooting, because the island stuff is just meh. Even if they're just, like, walking into, like, the woods of Canada, they could have just spent the money on, like, 10 seconds of, like, demon shark.
I'm torn on it because I felt it was establishing their... the past relationship between the two. So I agree it didn't do much story-wise, but it did something character-wise and established how these two have known each other all this time. Also interesting is it also establishes that Oliver has been exposed to the mystical arts years ago, and it wasn't, you know, just a recent thing for him, which I thought was very interesting. So I would never have suspected that before. So and I can't believe I'm actually in any way, shape, or form defending a flashback on this series, but I'd sooner trash the previous four, and I'll give this one a pass, mainly because of Matt Ryan's presence in it or something.
Oh, I think Constantine being in it made it at least decent compared to the other ones, but I don't know.
Yeah, it was the best flashback of the year.
Yeah, which isn't saying a lot, though, we know.
If it's my turn, I am out of points, so moving on to Vicky.
As am I. I think I made a lot of my points when I was just talking at Constantine. So.
Basically, you have one piece of paper, and it's like something out of The Shining. It just says Constantine over and over. Bring back Constantine. Back Constantine.
Yeah. All right, Dan?
I think maybe they should hook Constantine and Thea up in a relationship for, you know, long arc for the rest of the season. That'd be kind of nice. How would you like to enjoy watching that, Vicky? Be nice to see Thea happy for once and Constantine, yeah?
Whatever. She's technically an adult, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, sort of.
She's over 18 but under 21.
She's so good on the show. The only other thing I would have said, written 5 second point was, hey, Felicity was less of a dumbass in this episode. Yay.
Yes.
I just wanted to acknowledge that I thought they did a better job at Felicity's character this time than the last couple episodes. Look, she's trying to pursue knowledge. She's trying to figure this out. She's smart again. She makes a funny, and she even made a good line about finally someone from Ollie's past not being another gorgeous woman. So I enjoyed Felicity more in this episode than I have the last couple. So yay for that.
Yeah, she was very competent.
Well, I mean, overall, I really liked it. I mean, obviously the bias is going to be because I'm a big fan of the Constantine character. So that's going to color my view a little bit of the episode. I may be giving it a higher grade than maybe it deserves. I'm kind of going to give it a, I'm kind of going to give it like a B plus. The only reason I'm not giving it an A category, and the one thing I didn't talk about is I'm actually starting to have slight doubts about the Damien Dark character a little bit. I love his performance and I love his humor, but there is something about the villains on the show when they have a bigger emotional tie to what's going on and their motivations, where he's kind of more, you know, detached from everything. I still enjoy watching him, but I am wondering if I'll be satisfied with the payoff with this villainous character as the season goes on. So I'm suddenly becoming just mildly skeptical about it, but we'll see. But back to the episode, I would just give it a B plus.
I would give it the same. Honestly, the Constantine being in the episode elevated it from what it could have been. But the fact that it was good because a lot of set pieces got moved. Things got moved into new places. Hopefully they run with him perfectly. Dickel finding out about his brother. Laurel having nothing to do anymore, so hopefully she just disappears and we never see her again. Captain Lance having some new working partnerships with Oliver and Dickel. So for that, as a setting stone, I think it's good. I'll give it a B plus.
Also, we left out one kind of big thing that happened in the episode. It just occurred to me when you were listing things. They established that people now know that Ray Palmer is alive.
Oh, yeah. That's Ray's alive. Yes.
Kind of a big deal.
I forgot about that.
That was good.
Constantine overshadowed just everything.
Iron Man's back, everybody. You're welcome, Scott.
Maybe they can put Laurel in that outfit and then blow it up or something.
I would trade Ray Palmer for Laurel any day of the week.
Yeah. I give the episode a solid B. I was more interested in, at the end, I was interested in what's going to happen next week with Ray Palmer. I like the character. I, you know, don't maybe like the suit, but I like the idea behind that we're getting to the traditional Adam. So B for me.
You know, as I said, I can't stop gushing out, but I highly enjoyed the Constantine parts of the episode. So it's definitely coloring my grade, but I'm going to have to go with A minus.
I enjoyed the episode. It was a good experience.
Okay, so look at that. We knocked out both the Flash and Arrow in nice record time there. So there were a few other shows that we wanted to touch upon, not in as great a depth as these by any stretch of the imagination. I haven't really decided what the order should be, so we could, you know, how many of us watched The Walking Dead? Because maybe we should just take care of that one first. I mean, Dan, you watched it, right?
Yeah.
I since you and I seem to always be on opposing viewpoints for almost every episode of the show, what did you think of this last one, which, what was it called? Here's Not Here? It was the Morgan-centric episode?
Yeah, something like that. Did you watch it, Jason, before we go into it?
I did not. I've been pretty busy this week, so okay. No, I haven't been able to watch much TV.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, there isn't really much kind of, you know, I won't say anything, and it's not the kind of thing that you really have to go into much, but yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was the best episode of it that I've seen for quite some time. I didn't mind the placement of it. I thought it kind of made sense. I mean, the cliffhanger of the last week episode was, you know, Rick stuck in the RV, which basically happened because Morgan wouldn't kill that guy. So having some time, like, you know, I mean, this is a good place to put the episode as any, you know, I'm 34. I can handle waiting 2 fucking weeks to find out what happened to Glenn and Rick. So,
I said almost the exact same thing at work yesterday, or the other day. So totally agree with you on that point. Anyone who's whining about, ooh, I wonder what happened to God, like, you can wait 2 weeks. Sometimes, you know, it's not like a season-ending cliffhanger where you have to usually wait like a year. And so shut up. I didn't mind the placement of it at all. I liked them putting it there. I liked, you know, to make some people wait, you know, the idiots that I'm angry, that works for me. Lenny James is probably one of the best actors on the show anyway, so I don't mind spending an entire episode with that character. And it reminded me that of how pretty much it reminded me pretty much of how insane he was back in the Clear episode. So it was kind of fascinating to see how he was able to transform himself into the character that we see now, and what led to that. So it was a very different episode of the show, and maybe that threw some people. Too bad. But I liked it. I liked the fact it was different. It didn't just follow the formula that the show has generally falls into. I liked the other actor who was on it, John Carroll Lynch. I liked him enough to even mention him on our Fargo podcast a couple days ago. I didn't know he was going to be in it, and I thought he did a fine job with his character. And yeah, I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. And I kind of had a suspicion that we were about to get a flashback episode.
Yeah, you called that one like right away, like back when everybody was just like freaking out instantly. You're just like, you know what, people, you don't get your hopes up because then you might have to wait a little bit longer. You were on that shit.
Yeah, I actually, it's funny, I kind of forgot I said that, but my a fellow at work, and who it actually turns out to be one of our listeners, yay, said that to me as well. I said, you called it. It was like, did I? I thought everyone knew that, but all right, yay for me. But yeah, I was very pleased with the episode. Maybe I'll hate the next one, I don't know, but this one I kind of enjoyed. Guess if it's just the two of us, we can move on to the next thing. I got a feeling this is going to be really brief. How did all of us or most of us watch the latest Supergirl episode that was on Monday?
I watched it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did not.
Okay, so Jason will abstain yet again.
Yeah, I will. I'll listen though.
It's okay. So what did you guys think of the second installment? And keep in mind, second episodes are sometimes almost as tricky or almost as difficult as first episodes, I've noticed. So it's a weird episode in that regard.
I didn't hate it. I mean, I'm not going to be the type of person who I have to watch it immediately like Flash or Arrow. I can say that. I will wait to watch Supergirl. But I enjoyed it. It was entertaining. I mean, they at least didn't make us wait like half a season for her to realize her aunt was the main person. She got her into her in the second episode, so that's good. So that's out the way. And we did see Henshaw. There's something else going on with him. So I hate Cat Grant still. Totally. No, still. I was like, I'll give her a second chance. Nope. Still don't like you at all.
All right. I'll admit, I didn't enjoy it as much as the pilot, but I still felt it was pretty good. I thought, at least as far as I was concerned, Kat and Alex, they weren't quite so annoying. I really enjoyed the, sibling moments between Alex and Kara just because I have a sister and can relate to that a lot. But the biggest criticism I had was just the visual effects when Astra and Kara were fighting in midair. It just looked off. It just didn't look right.
Yeah, the effects on the show are still a little shaky. But I like the episode. I thought it was pretty good, decent anyway. And I felt that they definitely had made some strides towards fixing like a lot of the issues I had with the first episode. I thought Cat Grant was less annoying, and they actually like made her like, tolerable for an entire scene, like making her just, intelligent in some way, or at the very least savvy instead of just like an obnoxious caricature. So there was that. Harwood or whatever his name was he was still kind of douchey, but not quite so over the top. And the sister was, she acted slightly better, I guess. So it just it felt like everything that I had an issue with, there was definite improvement. So it's promising for me.
I think what's good about this show, and fortunately for the show, is the lead. She's really good. She's a, she's everything. She's cute, but she's feisty. She's strong. She's determined. I like her as Supergirl, and I actually liked her in her normal civilian role as well this episode, more so than in the pilot. So I really like her, and that's kind of important. If you're going to watch Supergirl, you better like Supergirl. Otherwise, why would you watch Supergirl? I also continue to really like the James Olsen character. It's a different take on Jimmy Olsen, and I don't mean because of the color of his skin. It's just it's a different persona for that character than I'm used to. He's just the fact that he's a bit more of a mature character, and he's because we're seeing Jimmy Olsen years down the road where he wants to get away from the whole I'm just known as Superman's pal kind of a thing. And I like that they did get that phrase in there at some point during the episode, if I recall. Cat Grant, I still don't really like her, but I will agree with Dan. I thought she at least had one scene where I liked her more than at any point in the first episode. I think when she's going over her past history, where we get the references to her being a gossip reporter for Perry White, and you get the sense that, and I think it's because we get the sense that she fought to get where she is now. Because before this episode, it was just the whole Devil Wears Prada kind of character where you get the feeling she just is everything's been handed to her. She's this upper class snot. And she may very well still be all that, but at least you got a sense that she fought to get where she is. I hope there's still room for more improvement with that character because she is still intolerable in other scenes, but at least she wasn't a Laurel Lance for me. Let's put it that way. And I will agree with Cade. I was also very happy that they got to the, hey, your aunt is actually the bad guy really fast. Cause I really thought they were going to drag that up for at least half or three quarters of the season. And it was going to get kind of annoying after a while, but that fight scene in the air, until they get that shit down, they should just keep the fights on the ground. Because when they're fighting on the ground, it looks fine. Smashy, girders bending, whatever. But when they're fighting up in the air, it looks like a bad routine at the circus or something. It just doesn't look right. So they should avoid that until they get it right, I think.
Well, yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the original Superman movies, but like those special effects were more convincing than these were. So, and that was like 100 years ago.
Right.
There was one last thing I wanted to mention, but I feel like Kara is better at the whole secret identity than her cousin, because I mean, he only does, the glasses, but she does the glasses and she always wears her hair up, which really can make a difference in like how you perceive someone's, face and whatnot. So,
well, you just don't understand how much difference a curl of hair can make. Because apparently in one of the stupidest things on the show, I have to make fun of them, and I left it out last time, in the pilot where they show baby Kal-El and they actually have him with that stupid little curl. And I was like, really? Really? That's... And then it made me think of one of the things I remember thinking was stupid in the original Superman movie. And yes, I'm actually going to say something negative about the original Superman movie, that they gave Jor-El that freaking curl. Like, oh, come on. You don't inherit that. It's not a cowlick. But
anyway. I just want to chime in as a person who wears glasses. When I take my glasses off, nobody recognizes me. Complete anonymity.
Is that when they think that you're Cade? No, I'm sorry.
That is sarcasm.
Also, James made a really good point that Kat's never going to recognize that Kara is Supergirl because she never looks at her. She never pays her any attention.
Yeah, and Supergirl is just going to borrow a trick from the Flash and just vibrate ever so slightly so she'll be here. But not with excitement. Don't worry.
You might be able to work that into your costume, though.
Oh boy. Okay, so since we were talking about shows on Monday night, Well, there's another show that's on Monday night. That's a DC show that I've talked about before. Yeah, so I watched The Last Gotham.
Okay, hold on, everybody. Everybody take a shot every time he swears, but call 911 first because all our asses are going in the hospital. So, all right,
here
go ahead.
Here we go. Here we go.
I might not swear. I'm stone cold sober tonight, so I might not swear at all. But so Gotham, and
this is what I've been waiting for.
So Gotham, or as our podcasting friend refers to the show, Gotham, which is well done, Mr. Moody. Well done. Let's put it this way. Let's right from the top. Now, I had established that I hated Penguin's mother on the show. I mean, as much as I like Carol Kane, I hated the character. It was just stupid, cartoonish, distracting, and altogether annoying. This show managed to accomplish something I can't think of any other show ever doing that I've ever seen. Congratulations, Gotham, you fucking morons. You found a way to kill a character that I hated and make me fucking hate you for the way you did it as well. I hated the killing of her because I just didn't, the whole scene was just annoying. And it's like, oh, it's just so over the top to the point where I can't take anything seriously, even on a comic book level on this show anymore. I just, at this point, it's like, I was wishing, you know what, kill all of them. Kill every fucking character on this show. I don't care anymore. Because every time I look around, they've ruined another character or they've made another character stupid. And again, there are a few people I like. I still like James Gordon. I still like his Leslie Tompkins. Nice chemistry there. And I like, you know, a couple of the other actors. Don't care because everything around them is horrible. Let's take something which I now cannot stand. I've established how much I don't like this little Bruce Wayne character. You know, the fact that we have these scenes where he looks like an emaciated waif next to the two girls, Selina and Silver St. Cloud, who they both look like they're twice as thick as he is because he looks like a little stick with a lollipop head. And he's like the least perceptive character I've ever seen on a television show. And this is Bruce Wayne. I know he's not a detective yet, but he shouldn't be a fucking moron either. And oh my God.
World's greatest detective.
Yeah. Silver St. Cloud, who, okay, I grant you, maybe this would only bother comic book readers. And maybe I'm coming at this from a comic book perspective. So you'll pardon me if I get really annoyed that they decided, let's make Silver St. Cloud evil Silver St. Cloud. Never mind the whole creepy aspect of the fact that they're kind of fixing up like these 12 and 13-year-olds together. I was like, what am I watching here? I don't want to see this. Stupidly cast, stupidly written. I fucking hate all that crap. But then the show goes into hyper-stupidity mode. There is this scene. It's a shootout. I guess you can call it a shootout. I don't know quite what to call it. We have a couple characters inside a storefront, and then all these guys who look like they're about, you know, 200 feet away with, you know, automatic weapons, and they're shooting at each other blindly. And it goes on forever, and I'm just staring at the screen going, this is as bad. You know what? We need B.A. Baracus and Hannibal Smith here, and maybe the scene would make sense if it was on the A-team. But it's retarded on this show. I was like, what the fuck is this crap I am watching? And then let's get back to ruining characters or making them stupid. They've decided just to go all in. I know the Riddler Enigma has already killed before, but now they said, okay, we're just going to go. He's just a total homicidal lunatic. It's the fucking Riddler. Really? I not cool with that. Not cool with that. And then we get this other scene, which the astonishing stupidity of it. There's like this big gala where it's after the obvious he's a bad guy to everybody but the voters guy, you know, becomes mayor of Gotham. And then the Penguin's plan, because he's trying to kill the guy, is to somehow he gets like this army of goons to all get dressed up as the Penguin and walk and act like the Penguin approaching this where they're having this big gala or something. I don't know where Penguin got all these men, because there's never been evidence of him having this many men in any other episode. And the plan to have them all dressed up as the Penguin is like, what? This is stupid. But the what ends up happening, it looks to me like they just killed like every rich person in Gotham City who was there. And again, this is probably going to be like, oh, well, whatever. This fucking show continues to be the stupidest thing that I'm watching week after week. It's not even hate watching for me now. It's like, it's stupid watching. I want to watch to see what's the next stupid thing they're going to do. People who are defending this show really need to examine what makes for good television. And, you know, unless you're looking at this as a guilty pleasure, because that's the only excuse I can see. That's, or if you're like me, you're hate watching it. But other than that, it's so much of it is so dumb and so bad that I'm thrilled that Supergirl, which is not a great show. It may be a good show eventually. It's okay. But I'm still happy that Supergirl got more than twice the rating that Gotham did this Monday, because it is a better show. Fucking God. That's all I wanted to say about it. It just gets more and more fucking dumb week after week. Any goodwill I had toward the show when the season began is gone. So I'm fearful the show is only going to get worse as it goes along, and I'll be here to tell you about it because I just fucking hate it at this point. All right. That's all I have to say.
Be applause. There we go.
Did anyone count how many times I cursed? Because I was trying not to.
I think you said the F word at least 10 times. Right. I wasn't counting the smaller ones, but I think that one maybe 10 times.
Fucking show.
11.
It's the Laurel Lance of DC Comics shows.
I got that out of my life early. I understand exactly what you're talking about.
I'm just still, you know, and the thing is, even if I remove all the comic book related things I don't like about the show, even if I pretended I never read a comic book ever, I would still hate this fucking show. It would still be stupidly written. It would still be not just implausible, just ridiculous. To the point where, oh, it's become True Blood bad, but worse. It's, oh, I hate fucking show. All right, I'm going to stop. I don't want to make the podcast go on long. But
yeah, no, I can say as someone who hasn't read the comics, it's pretty stupid.
Thank you.
True Blood bad. How bad is that? Is that worse than Dexter bad?
Ooh, I got to think about that one. Probably not, because True Blood there was still a kind of a guilty pleasure. You think they kind of know that they're bad and they're just still having a little bit of fun with it. Dexter, I don't think they knew they were bad. They were just bad. they thought they were making something season. Good, and it wasn't.
Yeah, that whole last season was awful.
Well, yeah, I listened to the official Dexter podcast for that last season. And it was just like they thought like they were the best fucking shit ever, and they'd like, you know, completely oblivious to like how everything was just falling apart and like the reality.
All right, well,
dumb.
I have to confess, the one nice thing about talking about Gotham at the end of this podcast is that kind of wore me out a little bit. So, we'll probably chat about other comic related shows on our next one, but I think we've covered enough on this one. Unless there's anything anyone else wants to say before we start wrapping things up.
No, I'm good.
Nope.
I've said everything.
I will assume that we're good then. I know Dan wants to wrap up as well. So if you enjoyed this podcast and you like hearing us discuss shows like Flash and Arrow or trash, like Gotham, you can follow us on Facebook at the Serious TV Drama Podcast. Type that into the search box. You'll find us that way. Join the page. Join the conversation. You can also find us on iTunes the very same way. Serious TV Drama should be enough to find us there. That's how I find us when I want to track us down. You can subscribe to the podcast there. And also, if you enjoyed podcasts like this or any of the previous 83 podcasts we've done at this point, wow, Yeah, this is number 84, people. You can rate and review us there. The higher, the more ratings and reviews we get, the more we seem to, more likely we are to appear when people are searching for the next Fargo or Flash or Arrow podcast or whatever. I'm very happy to see that we seem to be popping up in those searches when I look for us. So, yay. Even though I'm still annoyed when I see other ones that I know that were better than being higher than this. But anyway, and finally, you can follow us on Twitter. Our handle on Twitter is at STVD Podcast. That's Serious TV Drama is what those letters stand for. Podcast on Twitter. That's where I will send out the links to the show. I will comment on things every once in a while. I know Jason's gal pal has suggested that I live tweet Gotham one of these days. I might. That's not that might be kind of fun, you know. I know you can curse on Twitter, so there's that. So
hey, you know. Jason's girlfriend, if you get like five of your friends to give us 5-star reviews, and then we can record a podcast with Scott watching it live and giving us his instant reaction as it happens, and we'll make sure he's really fucking liquored up too. So,
all right, you know what? That's not a bad idea. We are. Let me take a look at something. We are at. We have 34 5-star reviews, ratings rather, and 20 reviews. If we can either get up to 40 ratings of 5 stars or just maybe like 3 more customer reviews, one or the other, I'll absolutely do a drunken live podcast of Gotham.
And I will be on it. I won't say a word. I'll just laugh the entire time and enjoy myself.
That would be awesome.
I'll watch it too, even though I haven't watched it for over a season.
I hope it's an especially bad one, but then again, you know,
that might make the show entertaining if we all sat there and watched it and live tweeted the atrocity that was on that show.
Anyway. That's a plan. So, hey, more reason to rate and review us on iTunes, people. You might get some really specialty programming. I would love to see us get some higher ratings there so we can do crap like that. You know, maybe one podcast I'll do all in rhyme. Who knows? Anyway, so I've been saying I'll do stuff like that, but I kind of forgot about it. Like all those special podcasts we were going to do and we, you know, me and Dan both have lives, apparently. We've never got around.
Sure as hell don't feel like it, but we must.
Yeah, one of these days we will. All right, so I'm going to start our round of goodbyes. But first, I want to thank Vicky, Cade, and Jason again for joining us with this, our little marvelous little geeky podcast here. Thanks, guys. Your contributions are what make this podcast as special as I think it can be.
You're welcome. I enjoy doing this.
I have a lot of fun when I do this.
Yes, it's always enjoyable.
And with that, I will start the round of goodbyes with good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night.
Bye again.
The monarch of motion, the sultan of speed, the wizard of whiz, oh yes indeed. Go from here to China in a no time flat, beat the speed of light and you can't beat that. The Flash,
the Flash,
meet the mighty Flash.
The Flash, the Flash,
in a fight he'll smash and crash, mash a whole gang of crooks or schnooks. Hey, he'll just clobber any kind of bad guy, thief or robber, the world's fast. Yeah, man, the Flash,
the unbeatable Flash, the unbeatable Flash.
No one knows Barry Allen is his real name, works with the police, justice is his aim, wears a ring with the Flash's uniform in it when danger.